On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us this morning. Want to let you know that the Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance announced last week the winners of this year's 2015 Baker Artist Awards. Three folks won the Mary Sawyer's Baker Prize. That's Paul Rucker. He's a visual artist, composer, and musician. Wendell Patrick is a composer and music producer. And Eric Dyer is a filmmaker. They won the $25,000 Mary Sawyer's Baker Prize. They also announced 2015 B Grant winners. There are three of those. Renee Rendine is an installation artist. Dominique Zeltzman is also a video and installation artist. And Timmy Reed is a writer. So those three won the B Grant Awards. These are awards made possible by the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund, and they are administered by the Greater Baltimore Cultural Alliance. Now, the summer solstice is a month away, but summer unofficially kicks off this weekend with this Memorial Day holiday. And as a public service, John Waters is here, and my guess is that he'll recommend a book that he thinks should definitely be on your summer reading list. He happens to have written it himself. It's his seventh book. It's a bestseller that he released last year, and it's now available in paperback. It's called Carsick: John Waters Hitchhikes Across America. Hey, John, good to see you.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Welcome back.
Good.
So tell folks how you've divided the book. There are three sections. The last section tells what actually happened on the eight-day hitchhiking tour. What about the first two?
Well, before I left, every person I knew said, don't do this. Are you crazy? The worst stuff's going to happen. I kept thinking, God, I wasn't nervous before, but then I thought, maybe I should. What is the best that can happen, and what's the worst? So I dreamed it up. It was like writing 30 movies, because it's 15 great rides and 15 terrible rides. Terrible rides always. What happens to the worst thing you can imagine if you're hitchhiking? Diarrhea, and you get murdered. So it was fun to write
in that
my own murder. Yeah, I wrote my own murder. And then really, I barely finished it before I left. So the first draft of it. So after I wrote my murder, like 3 days later, I hitchhiked. I thought, well, how much worse could it be, really? It gave me confidence to go do it. And in real life, nothing was as dramatic as that, but the people were wonderful. And since this book has come out, I have kept up with a lot of them. And I'm going to be in the Corvette Kid's wedding.
Oh, terrific. Now, tell us about the Corvette Kid. He's a guy from Myersville, Maryland.
Yeah,
he was a Republican
elected official. He did not run again. I think he figured they'd use this against him.
You can imagine the ads.
Yeah, he was going to the subway to get his lunch. I was hitchhiking in the pouring rain, and he picked me up in his mother's Corvette. He had no idea who I was. He even told me, never heard of any of my movies, never saw anything. And we just kept talking, and he drove me to Ohio, much to his parents' freaking out. You know, when you Google me, it isn't friendly to a parent.
Right.
And then he came back, and then I got stuck. I kept going. He kept tweeting. And then he drove 48 hours at 80 miles an hour and came back and picked me up in Denver and took me a few more states. And so we became friends. I'm going to be in his wedding. I think it was good for his confidence. He looks great.
He was 20 years old at the time. Yeah. This is a couple of years ago.
He didn't run for office again.
Right.
He's getting married, has a beautiful new girlfriend. He looks great. He comes to my Christmas party every year. So, and I've been in touch with a lot of them. The Marine woman that picked me up, she had a baby and named the middle name after me.
That's
the
terrific.
Rock and roll band that picked me up, I've had dinner with. The preacher's wife that picked me up in Baltimore.
Here we go, Magic.
My mother.
Yeah, Here We Go Magic is the name of the band.
Here We Go Magic.
They were the ones that sort of let the cat out of the bag
when
you started this odyssey. You had kept it very secret.
Well, I kept it secret. Even when they did, they said, can we tweet it? I said, sure. You can do whatever you want. But when it went viral in the story, still the New York Times was calling my apartment. I never said that I did it till I got there, and it was over with. And
so the idea, we should make sure folks understand, you hitchhiked from your house in Baltimore
to my apartment in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And 21 rides, 9 days. And I've met, after, you know, going around the country promoting this book for a year, basically, most all people my age did hitchhike in their life, and they remember it fondly. They wouldn't do it today. And most all young people never have hitchhiked and want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they like the idea of it. But when I was young, it wasn't even thought as bad to hitchhike. My parents expected me to hitchhike home after school. It wasn't a terrible thing.
They weren't about to come pick you up, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean,
mine weren't either. Yeah, I agree.
They thought it was fine, too. I mean, you know, I remember seeing all the kids with lacrosse sticks hitchhiking home from private schools and stuff. I went to Catholic school, which was the perverts came to pick up those kids. But the same perverts and killers were out there, I guess. Just nobody wrote about them.
Yeah.
But nothing ever bad happened to me hitchhiking, and nothing ever bad happened on this trip either.
Yeah, I mean,
really.
did you ever feel in danger? I mean, as I read the book, it seemed to me that one of the biggest challenges you faced was the tedium. I mean, there were a couple of days there where you're standing out there in bad weather, you know.
For 10 hours one day.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's a long time to stand there. Just the tedium of being there.
Do you know how many cars go by in 10 hours?
Yeah. And you can't read, you can't do anything.
I didn't even look at my phone because it's too bright. You can't really look at yourself. And I never, when I got in the car, I thought the rudest thing, there are hitchhiking manners. When you get in the car, if you take out your phone, you're like a jerk, really. And even though I imagined in the best and worst ride music, there's even a playlist at the back of the book about hitchhiking songs, not one person had the radio on. When you pick up somebody hitchhiking, you don't have the radio and you want to talk.
Sure.
And you let the manners is how much you want to talk or let them talk. I wanted them to talk. I didn't want to tell my stories. I do interviews all the time for my work. Fascinatingly enough, the people, the pick-me-up in middle America didn't want to even talk about celebrity, even if they knew who I were. They weren't interested. They wanted to tell their story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a tape recorder. As soon as I got out of every car, I wrote everything down that I could remember.
And you say that you write at one point that when you're hitchhiking, your usual value system collapses. This was in the context of a woman who didn't initially recognize you, yeah. And she started giving you a hard time, and then she figured out who you were, and then once that happened, then she starts being nice to you.
Well, that is the only thing I hate. I would say 80% of the time I'm an airport. People do recognize me, right? But they don't always say something, but you can tell. I can immediately tell. People, when they think you're famous, they think you're invisible because I see people go, hey, look. I can see you doing that. But they act like I'm Harvey or something, you know, the ghost that famous people don't see that you're acting ludicrous because they recognize you. But the worst is when you're checking into an airplane or something and the woman is crappy to you. She's not nice. I mean, she doesn't know who you are. And then suddenly she sees your name and gets it and then acts nice. I hate them.
Yeah.
I don't mind if they're mean the whole time.
Right.
But don't change because you suddenly. Or the worst is when people say, can I have your picture? But they don't know who you are. Someone else recognizes me. I said, well, why do you want my autograph if you don't know who I am? That's how bad it's gotten about fame
it's
in America.
It's a celebrity obsession.
Could be worse. Yeah. High class problem.
But I mean, did you change at all? I mean, as your value system evolved now that you've made this trip? I mean,
my value system changed hitchhiking. Well, I said before I would never get on a motorcycle. I would have gotten in with Ted Bundy if he pulled up in a Volkswagen with his arm in his sling. I would have hopped in after 10 hours. I imagined if I was ever frightened, I was going to say, you know, I'm filming a reality show and there's a satellite filming it, but it's on me. If you leave, that might have worked, but I never was frightened of anybody ever. Mm. People were great. And they didn't all know who I was. Certainly they didn't. And some picked me up and then figured it out, or they thought I was a homeless man. I kind of was.
And there were a couple of people who simply wouldn't be convinced. There was a farmer in his 80s who just you know, figured you were.
I told him, a film director, he was like, sure, this poor homeless guy. He tried to give me money. It was very touching.
Yeah. John Waters' new book is in paperback. It's called Car Sick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. So the reaction to this book has really been something.
It's been great. You know, it was, I've been on the New York Times bestseller list. It was on the San Francisco bestseller list for even I was above Hillary, and hers was called Hard Choices. People thought that was a porn title. But I was...
No, they didn't.
I did. When I first saw it, I thought it was. We were in San Francisco, you got to remember. No, it was great. And it's, you know, it's amazing to me because the book is fairly insane in parts. And you think this is a bestseller. God, times have changed. That this is a book that regular people are reading and seemingly, no one seems to get upset about anything I do anymore, which I love. I never was trying to just upset people anyway. But I haven't changed that much. If you read the chapters in Car Sick, could be very much the early fictitious chapters, could be some of my early movies completely.
Sure.
And a couple of them were movie ideas that I put in. So, but no one seems anymore to be upset about it, which is nice, I think. It's nice.
Yeah. I mean... Are any of the fantasies that you had, either the good ones or the bad ones, were they ones that were sort of long-standing, or were these ones that you invented on the
spot? Well, I never had sex in a demolition derby car in the middle of a race, but once, for
but
all
you
things
thought about it.
Yes, because for all things considered, I did cover once the demolition derby and was in the car with someone. Now,
You came that close.
It didn't happen, but it was. Yeah, things trigger ideas. Let's put it that way.
Right.
It's all based on something. I mean, the hipster carnival thing was sort of based on a movie idea I had once. The crazy librarian that goes around distributing uncollectible books to insane readers. I own all those books. I mean, so a lot of it's
yes,
a little
bit. Yes, you spoke with great
me.
Authority yeah. when you wrote about these titles.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be making these up.
No, they're all true titles.
Yeah. So it really does run the gamut. And some of it is pretty racy stuff. So this is not a book you give your 11-year-old, I guess.
No, unless they're. Have a good sense of humor. Even the porn star, when I have the scene with Connie Francis and I have a magic part of my body, I don't know if he ever read it, you know. But you don't know. I don't know if Connie Francis read it. I mean, she's treated certainly in a fictitious way. But I did meet Connie Francis, and she was a little like that.
Yeah, well, Connie Francis, that was actually one of my favorite chapters. I thought, was this inspired by any of these, like, you know, on the road movies or books or anything like that?
Well, sure. You know, even though you think about on the road, they didn't hitchhike that much. They were in cars a lot. They hitchhiked a little. It was inspired because I hitchhiked. A lot when I was young, never across the country. The longest I ever did was San Francisco to L.A. and Baltimore to Provincetown. But in Provincetown, in the last 10 years, I hitchhiked every summer by myself. That's what gave me the idea, because there was this beach I loved called Long Nook, and you can only go there if you have a sticker and live there full time. So I couldn't drive there, and it's like 10 miles. So I would hitchhike every day. And then I had dates, you know, want to come hitchhiking with me. You know, I did it with Patty Hearst. I did it with other people. And so it became kind of a fun thing. And in Provincetown, it was easy. People recognized me. But coming back, you were really on Route 6, which is the highway. So that was real hitchhiking, kind of. Not as real as a ramping Kansas by myself for 10 hours.
Now, you know, you're on the road all the time. I mean, you have homes in San Francisco and here in Baltimore and New York, so you're a left and right coast guy. But you've been to the middle of the country a lot of times, you know, doing your stand-up and you know, traveling. Did you get a different view of the middle of the country because you did it literally from entrances to the interstate?
Yes, I did because, well, first of all, driving across the country is the most amazing experience that everybody should do. I did it when I was young, all five different routes. We used to get drive-away cars, they were called, where you'd look at having it out in the New York Times and you'd call up and they'd give you your car and you'd drive it to California and deliver it to the house. Why anyone gave me a car with what I looked like during those years, and we always had drugs, pot, and five other people in the car, but they always got their car. I never ripped it off. You know, we did the job. But so I had a remembering that very much, you know, wanting to do that. And so to drive across the country, the thing was that what you always think, joke, middle America, something that I'm really not much in. I'm in the high and low. I'm not much in the middle. But every one of those people was the opposite of what the cliche, what liberal people think that middle Americans are. They were not closed-minded. They were not predictable at all either, though. You know, you couldn't quite tell what they believed in. But maybe that's people that pick up hitchhikers are people that have usually conquered something. They've struggled. They've gotten over something. They're doing well now, and they want to help somebody else.
Did you talk to any of them about that? You didn't write too much about it in the book, but did you say to them, you know, why did you pick somebody up? Isn't it dangerous for you, the driver?
No, I never asked that. You never say the same thing you never ask.
You don't want to plant anything
when
in
you
their
go
minds,
in to pitch a movie. If they say no, you ask. If they say yes, you never ask. Just get out before they change their mind. That's like in a car, you don't want to ask, and they pull over and say, get out. Once somebody pulled up, and then I pulled over, and then they said, never mind, when they saw me. I thought, well, isn't that an insult? And then another time somebody picked up a father and two kids, but they were only going two exits. And the local rides are your enemy because you're in a good place and you don't want to be left off at a worse place. And they were very kind.
Yeah, because you had to be very strategic about where you stood with the sign.
That's the hardest, where you get dropped off.
Yeah.
And I had the best luck in the middle of the country. Not in truck stops are the worst because trucks can't pick you up anymore. They have two drivers, one sleeping and one's there. I got one ride in a truck, but he was great. But not the ones with the fast food places, the ones that are little parks that where people stop and walk their dogs and stuff, because A, they exit and enter there very slowly, and they get a chance to see you standing there for a while, and they're going far places usually. It gets easier. The worst is cities. You can't go near cities. You have to get dropped off after the city, not right before, because it's all local rides. Mm-hmm. And then the worse you get in the city, there's nowhere to hitchhike and no one's going far. You need to be in one of those parks. People are driving far, at least sort of far.
You talk a lot in the book about, you know, movie ideas you had or movies you had done and stuff. There's a yearning here for that you that seems pretty obvious to me, reading, is that you really are missing making movies. You're doing
really?
So many other things.
I actually think you're wrong.
Really? Because
yeah.
I picked up, oh, gosh, there is. It's another movie reference or something. Because one of the fantasies is a drug dealer gives
me,
you money to fund the movie that you've had written now for some years that you've had a tough time
finding. Yes, and I have a development deal that I can't talk about right now for a whole other TV project. We'll see if it happens. If it doesn't happen, I like writing books equally as making movies. I mean, it's just me. I don't have to have 500 people. I have 15 movies. I just had a huge retrospective at Lincoln Center. I'm having a huge one at the British Film Institute in the fall. It's not like I haven't spoken. My movies are all available. They play on TV. Who would have ever thought any of them could play on TV? So if I never make another movie again, I am not sitting home yearning. My dreams were fulfilled years ago. But I want to make another one, and I still do it. And but I liked writing this book as much as I ever had making a movie. And the book was a hit, and my last movie wasn't.
John Waters, his latest book, is now available in paperback. It's called Carsick, John Waters Hitchhikes Across America. There's a release party and book signing at Atomic Books in Hamden next Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We've got a link with all the details on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. We're very grateful to everybody who's made a pledge before we begin our spring pledge drive. The on-air drive is scheduled to begin next week. We'll have to interrupt some of Maryland Morning and other programs when we do that, but you can help us interrupt that particular plan. Come to WIPR.org and show your support for conversations like the one I've just had with John Waters. As soon as we reach our goal, the pledge drive will be over. If enough of us pledge right now, we may not have to interrupt any programs at all next week. So come to WIPR.org and show your support for your public radio. There's lots more coming up on Maryland Morning. Stay with us.